Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the Portable Magic Dispenser. My name is Lucas Maxwell and I'm a librarian at Glenthorne High School in Sutton, Surrey. And this is a podcast for your public library, school library, whatever. And today I'm going to be talking about tips for autistic Dungeons and Dragons dungeon masters. So it's a bit very specific, but this is what I'm going to talk about today as an autistic dungeon master. There are certain things that maybe, and these tips will be probably for any dungeon master, but I don't know any other experience. I would say these tips help me greatly. So what I'm going to say is the first thing. So as a D&D person, I guess, as a dungeon master, I would say, weirdly enough, we'll start with the end. When you finish a D&D game, I think most people are kind of either... there's like a feeling of exhilaration or like you need to like wind down. And I think for dungeon masters, that's especially true. It's very hard for me to sleep after D&D. At the same time, I feel exhausted. So just something that you'll keep in mind. Maybe for me, 3.5 to 4 hours is about the max that I should do. I think I've done like 6 or 7. But I think I got pretty, run down about that. And so I would say keep the sessions 3.5. You can do what you want, but it's, for me, that's something that I need to be aware of, the timing of it. so that's one thing. Keeping it low time-wise. The next thing is to stay hydrated. I know that sounds weird, but what happens for me, and I don't know if this is happens to everybody else, I can only speak for myself, is that when I get tired, which is usually really early afternoon, because my brain has been working overtime trying to figure out how to act properly in public and things like that, properly in quotes. my voice becomes really groggy almost, and I get extremely tired. But being hydrated helps, and taking breaks throughout, so that's another thing. I don't really listen to my own advice sometimes, because sometimes I'll do 4.5 to 5 hours of D&D without a break. But you should always be checking in with your players, I think, as well, every couple hours. Like, does anybody need a break? You know, some people may not feel confident speaking up and saying, look, I really need a break. They feel like maybe they're disrupting the game or the flow or whatever. You should always have a situation where everyone feels comfortable just saying, I need to take a break. So taking frequent breaks and staying hydrated is something that you should definitely give a try. Now, the other thing is about organization. So I struggle really greatly with organization. And what I find helps is making my own notes on like a Google Drive so I never forget it. 'Cause I can always log into my Google Drive. I would say making notes that are... I bold notes that are important that I want to say right at the top of the session that I've remembered. So taking notes throughout, even if they're bullet point notes, is really important, okay? And just being aware that, yes, you may forget things, but it's not the end of the world, so don't beat yourself up because... your players may not even realize that you've forgotten something, if that makes sense. So, not beating yourself up, trying to be, as organized as possible. I would also say doing a lot of pre-reading is good. So what I do is a few nights before the session, and again, every D&D, every Dungeon Master should do this, but I read a lot about what I want to do or about the area, if, especially if it's a pre-written campaign. I think it's really important that you read through the campaign as much as you can, which is what I do. I would say reading through the campaign, reading through the sections that are relevant to you, and just taking notes throughout is really important. And, you know, for me, being a Dungeon Master is about making the players feel like it's their story, and making them, you know, comfortable and feeling like they can be who they want to be and not feel judged or whatever. So I am someone who always thinks like people are always, judging me, I guess, if that makes sense. So it's, even though they aren't, but it's a weird thing that people, that you can have as an autistic person, but you don't need to be autistic to have that. But it's definitely something that affects my day-to-day kind of, I guess, well-being. So on top of that, it's like people, you think people are kind of like upset with you all the time. And even in D&D, I play with these amazing people. I always think, oh, maybe they're not having a good time or they're a little bit upset about something. So I'm constantly worrying about that. But it's like you can't keep asking them, are you having fun? Because they'll get annoyed, A. And B, you know, they won't, after a while, they won't tell you the truth. So I think I spend a lot of time concerned about if they're enjoying the game or if they're getting bored. And so I'm always trying to like, so I would say try not to worry about that too much. If they're there to play, they usually will love the game anyway. Not that you should be a bad Dungeon Master, but if you're trying and you're being, you know, you just, the thing with the you should know as a Dungeon Master is that you are a player too, and your job is not there to kill those players or make them feel miserable throughout or say no all the time. They should be, as long as they're not hurting anybody else, they should be allowed to try whatever they want. They should be able to create their story, so it's their kind of story, hopefully. So that's something that I'm worried about all the time when I'm doing it. So I'm trying to make sure people are happy in the game. I would also say work with your players as much as possible. So what I mean by that is like meet with them beforehand, have what they call session zero, which I've talked about before, which is just a meeting before the game. And you know, be, if you're open about being autistic or if you have a diagnosis like I do, I'm happy to tell people that and say, look, I'm going to possibly need a little extra time. What I always tell my players is that if I'm ever, like, well, sometimes we have some of my amazing team that we do the podcast with, they, I think, sometimes think, like, I'm annoyed with them or something, but never. That's never true. And I always say to, I would say, if that's something you've come across, is to say, if I ever sound annoyed, it's because I'm annoyed with myself. So usually it's it's always annoyed with myself. You know, something, I feel like I'm missing something. And I would say as a DM to slow things down. You don't need to make combat, especially as fast as it is in real life. Just take a step back and say, okay, what... have I got everything I need here? And just tell the players, just to be honest, like, I'm going to need 2 minutes to gather my thoughts. I do that sometimes. I just need a minute to get everything together. And that's what I enjoy doing that. And I enjoy, you know, and just having the time to think. So the last session we did with my friends on the podcast, it was essentially two full sessions, so almost like 7 or 8 hours of combat, And there was a lot going on. There were a lot of like NPCs, and I felt pretty good about how I did it, but I did need like, I was happy that the players were taking their time figuring out their moves and their strategies, because at the same time I was trying to listen to them and I was working my, you know, make sure I had everything going. I did make a big mistake, but I, you know, that's the other thing, is if you do make a mistake, Paul apologized. So the mistake that I made was that they had a friendly NPC that I, that they were trying to bring into combat, and I forgot to bring them in. And they, for some reason, thought that that I was just being slow bringing them in or something. I wish they had spoken up about it, because I would have brought them in, but it's not their fault, so it was my my fault with that. So that's something that, if you're a player as well, you should feel comfortable speaking up. I know they do feel comfortable speaking up, but I think they just were thinking, oh, that thing's taken a long time to arrive. But if you, you know, if you take some time, and I was kind of rushing around, I had so many things going on that I forgot. So, but if you take your time with it, you'll be okay. So I would say take notes beforehand, stay hydrated, take breaks, speak to your players about maybe needing extra time. Another thing I would say is that you don't need to be a professional voiceover actor to play different NPCs or characters. I try to mix it up, but I make fun of myself. So I tell my players I know basically two voices, a grizzled Vietnam veteran and someone I grew up with in Canada. That's essentially the two that I know. I know a few things. I'm getting a little bit better, but it's not easy. And you don't need to be like Matt Mercer and those amazing guys. And they're amazing, in my opinion, just because they make it seem easy, and it's not. But they're professional voice actors, so sometimes even if you're playing in person, even like a change in posture can do it. So I'm running something with students at the minute. It's like a gothic horror D&D with some 16, 17 year old students, and they came across like just like half animal, half half animal, half human creatures that were all hunched over. And I did do some voices, but I also like hunched over, and just that, I mean, you know. And then when they met like this, I don't want to spoil anything, but they met someone who wasn't like that. They met somebody who was like the leader of these things, and it was they're very kind of almost angelic, and they noticed that they were like floating off the ground a little bit as they drifted towards them. I made sure that I was like straight up and down, very regal looking, like very official. So things like that, you don't need to be. And I think in my head, I was like, they're getting bored and all that stuff. You worry about that stuff with the voices and all that. But I think for me, what some of the players, some of the NPCs that have been the most popular are the ones that are just, then the voice is not necessarily an aspect of them, but the kind of like just what they do, you know, their actions. So I wouldn't worry too much about voiceover stuff. It's also hard to describe, but hard to gauge, I should say, but you shouldn't plan, you shouldn't over plan. And somebody who, again, who's autistic, I can only speak for myself, but I tend to wait to the last minute anyway, to do things like that, like to write stuff down or to plan, quote unquote. But as a DM, I try to, how do I give them the freedom? You do need to plan in order to give them the idea of freedom throughout the game. But I guess as an autistic DM, it's important that you don't get upset when things don't go to plan, because, or any DM, because that's the whole point of the game, is that things shouldn't go to plan for you. the players should be disrupting the plans at all times. So hopefully that's clear. So you can find online tons and tons of like random tables, like randomized tables. If that's something that isn't like it, for me, if something's going to have like a huge impact on my players, I don't want to do like a random table. But if you have like, you need a quick NPC with a personality or something, there's tons in the books, in Tasha's and in Xanathar's guide. So there's tons of stuff like that. You don't need to worry about that. In my opinion, there's tons of websites out there as well. Same with like shops. I love when they visit shops because it's fun to just create an atmosphere and a shopkeep kind of personality. So that's something. And then you can always find tons of things online with weird little trinkets and things like that. So I wouldn't worry. Don't worry too much about that. And they're not going to remember the interior of the shop or the shopkeeper's name. Probably sometimes they do. We have, like I said, our podcast players know a few of the shopkeep's names because they've been back and forth there lots, you know. So that's fun, but don't worry too much about that. The other thing is, I would say, because we have autistic students who are being dungeon masters and players, is that you shouldn't stress over the rules, because you don't need to know every rule. They're just there as a guide, and if you break a rule, it doesn't matter. Who cares, right? All you need to do is, you know, if you want to correct it post-game, you could do. If you want to, what they call, retcon and just take things back, you can if it's like a major issue. But again, you should be clearing this with your players beforehand, where they say, look, I'm not perfect, I'm going to make mistakes. I always say to my players, you know, our players, that I'm learning as I go. So it's, I will 100% take information from players we have players who know more, in my opinion, know the game better than I do, but they don't want to be dungeon masters for whatever reason, and that's fine. So I play with two sets of adults, and some of them know the game, been playing the game for 30 years. So, you know, it's just the way it is. And I will ask them, well, what is that? How does that work again? And they'll just say, oh, this way. And, you know, you create like a relationship where they know you're not out to trip them up or kill them outright. although I think one of our podcast players is paranoid that I'm trying to kill them, but definitely not. So there's all that stuff. So I think what's important, if you're thinking about being a dungeon master and you're autistic, and that's, I'm not saying that's whole, not, and that's in your head, you know, in your head holding you, because I was really hesitant. I was like, I'm not going to be able to handle this, because the rules seem too overwhelming, the responsibility seemed too much. I've had situations in the past where, you know, the spotlight was on me, and, you know, I screw it up because I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't want the pressure, but there is no pressure. There should be no pressure, really. It's a game, and you're there for fun, and you're there really to tell a story. It's an improvised story. You're providing this kind of like building and this world, I should say, and letting them just play within it. And that's really what it's all about. You also need to choose a style of playing that you and your players enjoy. Like I said, I talked about the voices. If you don't like to do voices, just don't do them. You don't have to do them. Nobody's making you. But you should always tell your players if your campaign or whatever you're doing is going to contain dark themes, certain themes. Always warn them. If they may say, oh, I'm not comfortable with that, then you can switch it up, okay? You should always talk about expectations at the table, okay? you know, it can just be fun, right? It doesn't have to be this massive sit down after school special, right? Just get, you know, get to know your players if you don't know them well, and try to explain the game to them, essentially the situation you're going to be in. So what I would say is, like, don't beat yourself up. That's the number one rule. Don't beat yourself up. And just be open about the fact that mistakes are going to be made. And when that happens, you can move on from it, okay? So that's it, really. I mean, that's hard to kind of put in a podcast, to be honest, tips for autistic dungeon masters, because I can only speak from my experience. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. So that's the issue, is that you're going to find it different for yourself. Everybody's going to find it, you know, everybody's going to have a different experience, whether you're autistic or not. But I guess the goal is to just be kind to others, stay prepared, but not too over-prepared. Take notes during the game, I would say, and put those on like an electronic thing, Google Drive, so you'd never lose them. This will help you. And what I like to do is like provide recaps for players, brief recaps if I can. I haven't been doing it lately, but with our students I do, because they love it. And that's been very helpful. And it's helpful for me. So I try to do it right away if I can. Here's what happened. Even if it's bullet point, here's what happened in this session. And if they disagree, or they say, actually, this piece of treasure went to this person, or this, actually, we got this, blah, 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 that's great. It's a collaborative event. You're telling a story. I love taking the notes because it's super helpful to me. And I kind of make it into a story, really, at the end. So, yeah, that's it. That's this podcast. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that was useful. If you're thinking of starting Dungeons & Dragons in your library, I'm on Twitter at Lucas J. Maxwell, and I got lots of information, okay, that can help you. And it is, like, worth doing, especially if you're starting it in a school or public library. That is it. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye.